It's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank Rabbi Fine for getting me here. And so nice to be able to spend, after a long week, spend time to be able to learn Torah together. Hopefully you feel a little bit less stress. I don't know how many of you have Friday classes. It's probably not that many. I'm sure you have like a million papers to do and you have that stuff in your mind. But hopefully this kind of like Thursday night in college is like pretty much the end of the week. So this coming week, Parshas Yisro is about Kabbalas HaTorah. And I wanted to do a topic. I was also, one of my fears was, because you all probably learn like 20 hours a day, one of my fears was if I speak about almost any classic Torah topic that you would have heard three shiurim already by people who are much more suited to speak right here. So I decided to speak about a topic that's certainly tied to Kabbalas HaTorah, but likely not something you heard about. And this is the topic of Geirus, about conversion. The Gemara in Krisos, which is not on your source sheet, but the Gemara in Krisos on Daf Tet says that the laws of a convert, of what a convert has to go through, are learned out from Bnei Israel by Kabbalas HaTorah, that in order to become a nation, for us to be formed as Klal Yisrael, we needed to have a bris milah. There had to be in time of the Beis Medrash, I mean, not Beis Medrash, but also the Beis Medrash, had to be a korban. And we know of tefillah, and certainly Kabbalas HaTorah itself is Kabbalas HaMitzvos. And those are the four criteria of a ger, and those are the four components that happen starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night of Makas Bechoros, right? And leading up to Kabbalas HaTorah itself. And so I wanted to share with you both the most fascinating shaila that happened to me in my 11 years at Kushner, and also one that has had the greatest ramifications. Sometimes you could have a very interesting shiloh. For example, I actually learned with my class last semester, halachically, if someone were to travel to the moon, when do you keep Shabbos? Now, that's a fascinating question. There is halachic debate on that question. But likely, none of us are going to have that shiloh practically. If Elon Musk gets his way, so we're going to have that shiloh for Mars, but not exactly the moon. And then you have other questions that are, let's say, something that is practical, but something that might not be so interesting. And a lot of the shailas that we might come up with, things that happen on a day-to-day basis, might be very, very practical, but might not be the most interesting shailas. So this is something that was both the most interesting and the greatest ramification, which is as follows. I was teaching my class. This goes probably somewhere around 9 years ago. I was teaching a class of, I can't remember if it was junior or senior boys, and there's a boy in my class who I know is a convert. Now, he grew up Jewish his entire life, but I know he was adopted into a Jewish family. And when someone's adopted into a Jewish family, we're going to see what that person has to go through. But basically, they're converted as a child, whether it's a baby, a one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, whatever it may be, and then they're living a Jewish life. And we are learning the idea that when a person becomes bar bat mitzvah, that a person has to be mekabel the mitzvos. And a rabbi will sit down with that child and will ask, do you want to be Jewish? Do you want to stay Jewish? And they have the opportunity to be able to actually opt out if they choose. So we are learning this, and I'm not going to call out this kid. We'll call him Moshe. I'm not going to call out Moshe and say, Moshe, what happened to you? But Moshe volunteered. And Moshe's like, Rabbi, that's me. So once he does that, okay, it's fair game for a teacher to say, okay, Moshe, this happened to you. What happened? So it was one of those interactions where I was expecting to like feed him the answers. Like, did the rabbi? And I said, did you meet with the rabbi by Bar Mitzvah? He's like, yeah. And I was like, did he ask you if you want to stay Jewish? He's like, yeah. And I was like, what did he say? And he says, I told him I don't want to answer the question. I'm like, nah, not where I thought this was going. So I said, then what happened, Moshe? Like, that can't be the end of the story. You're in my class. We're learning Gemara. And I said, what happened then? And he's like, so then he asked me again. And I said, then what did he say? And then I said, I still don't want to answer the question. So then I said, that's it? He's like, yeah, he met with me one other time. And I didn't want to answer. So then I wasn't sure if what I was about to do would have any halachic ramifications, but I thought, why not? And I said, well, Moshe, do you want to be Jewish? Do you want to accept the mitzvot? And he still, I remember him sitting in the back row of class, and he says, I don't want to answer the question. So I went to the head of Judaic Studies afterwards, and I shared this incident with him, and we passed it along certainly to the Beis Din for Geirus. Because is this boy in my class Jewish or not? So certainly it is a very fascinating topic. We're going to break it down to first learning about how important is it to be mekabel the mitzvos, kabal sa mitzvos, amongst the different components. And then the second thing is we have to understand the specific case of a ger katan, of are there differences between someone who converts as a child than someone who converts as an adult. So the source, one of the main sources of Geirus is from a Gemara in Yevamos, and Daf Mem Zayin. You pass around, of course, if anyone didn't get their sources here. So the Gemara says, I'll start from the beginning of source one, Tanur Rabbanan. Geir Sheba Liskayer, if someone wants to convert, Bizman Hazeh Omrim Lo, Ma Re'isa Sheba Liskayer, what made you want to come to convert? Iata Yodesh Yisrael Bizman Hazeh Dvuyin Dechufim Schufim Em Turafim V'Yisurin Ban Aleihem? Don't you know about Kanye? Don't you know about how people hate us? And there's a lot of anti-Semitism. Just turn on the news. Like, you sure you want to join this people? I actually just, a few weeks ago, aside from like giving this year, I have nothing to do with Geirus. And a few weeks ago, I got a text from a former student who's in Rutgers. And she texted me and said, Rabbi, I have a Jewish question. I said, sure. So then I said, sure, happy to help if you want to text it, if you want to call. And she said, actually, it's not about me. I have a friend who's not Jewish who wants to convert. What should I do? So I said, well, I'm happy to speak to him. You give him my number. Give me his number. So I ended up speaking to him that night. And it was almost literally like the Yisro story. And I started off basically saying this. Like I said, like, you realize, like, we're not the most loved nation. And he's like, yeah, no, I know. And then we'll see later on the Gemara, the part that's not bold at the end, is like you tell the person some of the mitzvos. You want to share with them some of the heavier mitzvos and some of the lighter mitzvos. And you say, like, you know, right now, on Saturday, you could do whatever you want. But once you convert, so then it's a serious problem to be able to go to work on Saturday, to do certain simple things that you do with electronics. You wouldn't be able to do that. And the person was like, very, very determined and very driven. So getting back to the Gemara, so it starts off saying you have to tell them basically how hated the Jewish people are. And it happens to be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when the Jewish people were in a certain sense on the top of our game. We actually did not accept converts because it was assumed that someone was converting not for necessarily the most authentic reasons, genuine reasons, but because of the fact that, like, yeah, I'm a front runner. I want to be with the team that's number one. So the Gemara says, if the person responds, Im Omer Yodani, I know. I'm happy to do this. Mikabla no so miyad. So we accept this person. We're willing to continue the conversation. Omodiano so miktas mitzvos kalos, miktas mitzvos chamuros. And we share with them some of the easier mitzvos to do. And I share with this boy, there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. You just put on a garment that has four corners, and you get mitzvos for that. It's amazing. And you share with them some of the more intense ones, like Shabbos, like Kashrus, and so forth. So how important is Kabbalah HaMitzvos? So I'm going to share with you something that is wild. Okay, you're going to be shocked by this Rambam. The Rambam says in Source 2, Ger shelo badku acharav, o shelo diu hamitzvos va'unshin. If you don't share any of the information with this non-Jew about mitzvos, you don't tell him about it. Umal v'taval b'fnei gimel hadiotos. And the person, assuming it's a boy, he gets a bris milah, and he goes to the mikvah in front of three dayanim, harei zeger. It is a good conversion. Now, there's almost literally no other way to translate that Rambam. Sometimes, when it's a shir, it's like, oh, there's different interpretations of it. Read the words. Shalom b'kwachav, and like, look into the person. O shalom hodi'uhu hamitzvos v'onshen. You don't inform him of the mitzvos and their punishments. What is going on? This is very strange. So let's see the opinion of Tosfos. So Tosfos, in Source 3, says, Tema, the Amar Lekam, we're not going to get into the details of what the specific case is. within Tosos, but the bold words, Tema Diyamar Lekaman, the Ger Tzar Shlosha, that the halacha is that when someone wants to convert, you need a based in of three. The Mishpat Ksivbe, because in the Torah, when it discusses the idea of conversion, it uses the word Mishpat. And Mishpat means judgment. That you need a halachic based in of three, that certainly the lowest number of a Sanhedrin, of a based in, is three. V'afil l'man di'amar, b'ri Sanhedrin, d'var Torah chad nami kasher, and even according to the man di'amar, then the beginning of Sanhedrin, that min ha-Torah midi ha-Raisa, just one dine is enough. Mikol makom in derech nashen l'havi ishimam b'shas tefilos. So this is talking about by geiris and a woman, by tefila. So it says basically we have three people do it. V'yesh lamar, skip to the next bolded section. Hay dibi'inan shlosha, haynu l'kabalas ha-mitzvos, aval lo l'tefila. So it says, when it comes to needing three, needing a real bona fide based in, that is only about kabbalas ha-mitzvos and not about going to the mikvah. Meaning, what's the most strict component amongst mila, tefila, kabbalas ha-mitzvos? The most strict component is kabbalas ha-mitzvos. Very surprising, right? So we have the Rambam who makes it seem like you could convert without even telling them the mitzvos. And we have a Tosfot that implies that the most strict of the three is Kabbalah's mitzvos. So let's see how we paskin. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Has the Shulchan Aruch weigh in on this? So now we're going to see something that's probably the most jarring of the whole shir, is sources 4 and 5, both from the Shulchan Aruch. So in source 4, Kol Yane Hager, Ben Lo Dio Mitzvos Kablam Ben Hamila Ben Atfila, you need a base name of three for all of these. Ubi yom, and it has to be done during the daytime. Right? Just like a bris mila when you have a baby boy, so the bris has to be done by day. Mihu, davka l'chatchila. He says, however, that's l'chatchila. We know, of course, there's a concept. L'chatchila b'diyaved. Some people think, by the way, that b'diyaved means like, oh, I could just choose something that's second best. B'diyaved means literally that it was already done, but it wasn't done in the ideal way. So post facto, you realize, oh no, there were only two dayanim, not three, so is that okay or not? Does that work after the fact? The Shulchan Aruch says, mi davka l'chatchila, this is l'chatchila, the ideal thing, you need three for everything. Aval b'di'eved, but if after the fact you didn't have three, im lo mal otaval el b'fnei beiz u'belayla, if you did it, if you had the mila and the tefila only in front of two dayanim, and you did it at the nighttime, it's supposed to be during the day. I feel lo tava l'shem geiris, even if the person didn't go to the mikvah l'shem geiris. Ella isha tava lekaria v'isha shetava l'nidasa, have a ger umutir b'shelis. This person is considered a bona fide convert. So if it's done b'di'eved with only basin of two, and it was done at night and not during the daytime, that's okay regarding the mila and the tefillah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, though, chutz mikabalas hamitzvos, shemeakeves im ina b'yom u'b'shlosha. Says, however, the most strict component of the geiros is kabalas hamitzvos. And for kabalas hamitzvos, you need three people from the beis din, and it has to be done during the daytime. For the Rambam, afil b'diyavad shatava loma b'fnei shnayim o b'layla, me'akev. It's me'akev. So far we see from the Shulchan Aruch that he paskin seemingly like that Tosfos, that the most strict component of the Geiris process is the Kabbalas HaMitzvos. But now, the same author, the same Shulchan Aruch, in the exact same chapter, in the same exact simon, Rei Sarichat, says as follows in the next source. V'im lo bad ko acharav, o shlo diu schar mitzvos va'onshin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if you did not inform them of the reward for the mitzvos and the punishment for the mitzvos. Umal v'taval b'fnei gimel hediotos, and the person went to the mikvah and had a bris mila in front of three people. Hareze ger, the conversion is good. Afilu nodesh shvil davar humitkar. Even if you know the person is converting for ulterior motive, hoil umal v'taval yata miklal ovdei kochavim. Once he has a bris mila, and once he or she went to the mikvah, so they leave their status of an oved kochavim. So this now is strange, because we see the exact same author in the exact same chapter. It's not like, oh, maybe you could have someone say, like, if this would have been much later on, like maybe could have some opinion, like, oh, this component of the Shulchan Aruch, this line wasn't written by a real safe, Kairo, Tos, Sofer, right? You could have so many things like that, but it's the same author in the same chapter. What's happening here? One part, he says, that basically the most strict part is Chabalas HaMitzvos. You need three members of the Beis Din. It has to be done during the daytime. It's not Yotze even B'diavad without it. And then, short while later, same chapter, oh, by the way, if you don't tell them about Mitzvos, her or her about Mitzvos, they're good. Still the Jew. It's totally strange. Totally puzzling, right? My Rebbe, Rav Baruch Simon, I believe he was here this week. So Rav Simon has been in Shir for 6 years. And Rav Simon loves to quote from Rav Goldvich, the Rosh Shiva's from YU's uncle, who was the founding Rosh Shiva of KBY, where he liked to say, you have to feel the kasha. You have to feel the kasha. And sometimes, a number of times, when we ended Shir, so we ended Shir on a cliffhanger. We ended Shir with a question. You say, like Rav Goldberg, you have to feel the kasha. You'll come back tomorrow. So I'm not going to come back tomorrow. I'm happy to come back tomorrow if you want, and we could feel the kasha overnight. But this is a great kasha, right? It's like, how do you get around this? So the way we're going to get around it is we're going to see a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Igros Moshe, he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Samachet says as follows. On the top line of source 6, the ger sheniskar lebein akum velo yada mishabbos. Let's just stop right there. We're talking about ger sheniskar lebein akum means someone who converts who is living amongst non-Jews. Now, how about you? But if someone is converting to Judaism, they should know a lot about Judaism. The fact that it says someone who doesn't know, who's living amongst the non-Jews, and it says, and they don't even know about Shabbos. And the whole point of the Gemara is meaning this person's converted. This person's Jewish. So Moshe is discussing this case of how could a person be considered Jewish if they never heard about Shabbos, right? If we were to list like the hierarchy of things that could be challenging to someone who's going to be a potential convert, arguable which one's like the hardest part between, I guess, if someone were a woman, one could say maybe like sneeze or carving the hair, but I really think Shabbos and Kashrus would take like one and two pretty easily. And so, what's this talking about? So Moshe says as follows, and here's the answer to the stira. There are people, like the person I spoke to on the phone just a few Motzei Shabbos ago, his name was Ben. Now it happens to be that I got in touch with the Beis Din, and the Beis Din actually said, to be honest with you, I was a little concerned if I spoke to him, because I wasn't sure if Beis Din's like, no, you shouldn't speak to him, because like maybe you'll ask him certain things, like it has to be in a certain way, or like, I wasn't sure. And so I got in touch with the Beis Din. Beis Din's like, oh, he's not ready to speak to us. Like, no, he has to learn a lot more before we even speak to him. And so I connected him to the Rabbi Ruckers, and he's going to now learn for a long time before he could even begin discussing the conversion process with Beis Din. However, what he said to me on the phone is, I'm in. And when I shared with him some of the challenges that he'd have to live with when he's a Jew, he said to me, and it was very powerful for me to hear, he said, I want to sacrifice. I came to the realization that Judaism is the MS. He didn't use the word MS. But I came to the realization that Judaism is the MS. And therefore, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to live by that. And that's what he said. And so says Rav Moshe. When you have someone who says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you don't have to necessarily, nowadays of course we do, but you don't necessarily have to inform them of the mitzvos in order for it to go through as the conversion. Because think about it. Is any convert, or any of us, if we went around the room, myself included and Rabbi Fine included, if we went around the room and we said, let's come up with all 613 mitzvos, okay, whether, even if we were to figure out if we could do any of the different opinions, could we get one of them? No. We would not be able to list collectively the 613 mitzvos. And yet, we don't expect a convert who's coming in to be able to name all 613, right? So there's certainly things that they're going to have to learn. Now, We want to set them up for success, and that's why there's a very rigorous process through Beis Din. So you have to live your life as a Jew. It's not just, oh yeah, you'll violate everything, b'shogeg, so, but you'll figure it out one day. Right? You want to set them up for success, but at the same time, they can't do everything. But what are they doing then when they're being mekabel the mitzvos? What they're doing is they're saying, I am in. And when I learn a halacha, when I hear something that I've never learned before, that I find out is bona fide halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, I am accepting it upon myself, even though I have not heard it yet. And so this ger, who's living amongst the non-Jews, who's a convert, who doesn't even know about Shabbos, he or she doesn't know about Shabbos, it's because they're willing to keep Shabbos, even though they've never heard about Shabbos a day in their life. And says Rav Moshe at the end of the source in the bold, Avak shalo kibel im mekablin dezehu ikur hagers. He says the kabbalas hamitzvos is actually the most important. And he said even the Rambam and even the Shulchan Aruch would agree it's the most important. He says zehu ikur hagers. That's what gers is all about. It happens to be, of course, the milah and the tefillah, that's just a formality and a certain component, a certain aspect that's tied to making someone a bona fide Jew. But really, what is a Jew? A Jew is someone who wants to serve Hashem and want to fulfill the mitzvos. So now we see how important Kabbalas HaMitzvos are. So let's go back to my student Moshe. Moshe was not mekabel the mitzvos. So we have the following. Let's see, let's first understand now where it comes from about Kabbalas HaMitzvos from a katan. Because when you have a katan or a katana, the whole point is that they don't have halachic das. That's why a katan or a katana is not allowed to be an aid. And that's why there's a lot of halachic components that are different from a katan and a katana. So says the Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Yud Aleph and Beis in source 7. This is the source for ger katan. Amar of Huna, ger katan madbilin oso al das Beis Din. When it comes to a child who's converted, they're converted through Beis Din. Meaning Beis Din is able to, they're not able to do it for themselves. Meaning Beis Din is able to say, okay, we will convert you, because they don't have even the halachic das, of course. Ma'ik mashmalan, dizchus hu lo, v'zachan la'adam shalo b'fanav. So we have a concept in halacha called zachan la'adam shalo b'fanav, which means that it's meritorious even though shalo b'fanav, even if they're not present. Now here, we're talking about the das, not the physical person. But I'll give you an example in halacha about zachan adam shlo b'fanav. There's a concept that a person's not supposed to give a matana on Shabbos. You're not supposed to give a gift to someone on Shabbos. Happens to be, if you're, the gift you're going to give could be used on Shabbos, like it's food for a meal, so you could bring over the bottle of wine for the meal. We typically don't give gifts on Shabbos. So there's a way to get around it, though. Let's say you're going over to your friend's house on Shabbos, so you... Before Shabbos, you could give it to someone to acquire on your friend's behalf. Now, your friend who is going to be the recipient, let's say it's your friend's birthday on Shabbos day, you don't want them to know, be like, oh, by the way, I can't give you the gift tomorrow, so like, do you want to accept this today? For like, you don't want to do that. You could give it to your friend, and the person, the real recipient, the birthday girl, the next day, she doesn't even have to know about it. And it's halachically hers from when you give it to the person you're with on Friday. Because why? Because had you told her about this gift, you know that your friend would want it. Zachan la'adam, shalok b'fanav. She's able to acquire it even without being there, even without the knowledge that this exists. So when it comes to geiros, it is better, in a certain sense, right? Geshmak to be a yid. It's great to be a Jew. And because it's great to be a Jew, we are able to accept geirim, who are ketanim, even though they don't have the das to do it themselves, because it's great. Why? Why is it so great? Because assuming someone is going to be living with a family that is Shomer Torah Mitzvos, then they are going to get more schar in this world and get more Olam Haba. Because if they weren't a Jew, and they were a great non-Jew, and they were keeping the Sheva Mitzvot of Bnei Noach to the T. So if you're doing seven mitzvos, even though some of the seven are more broad, but if you're doing them every day and doing them as best as you can, you're believing just in Hashem, right? Versus someone who's doing all 613 their whole life. So of course, the person who has 613 is going to be getting more schar. So too over here. So that's why it's called Zachan La'adam Shalo B'fanav. It's better if this person is to be a Jew than not a Jew. Happens to be that a Beis Din will likely not convert someone if they're not going to be living with a family that shomer Torah mitzvos to the utmost. That it's not worth setting someone up to live in a family where now they're going to get sins that they wouldn't have had if they weren't converted. So the Gemara says, if you skip down to the next bolded part, about five lines later, Amar of Yosef. This is the line that's probably, this line and the next line that we're going to see are the most relevant to the case at hand. Amar of Yosef, Higdilu Yecholon Lemchos. When this child who was converted, who didn't have halachic das, when they grow up, when they become a gadol, so halachically bar bat mitzvah, they're able to push it off. They're able to say, I don't want this. You brought me in to the Jewish people against my will. I'm out. That's what Yosef says. But then, if you go a few lines later to the end, Kevan shegdila sha'achas v'lo mifta shuv eina yechola limchos. However, once this child is bar bat mitzvah, for a moment, and they did not reject Judaism, they're no longer able to reject it. So you could have a kid, a child, that's 13, and a boy that says, you know, I'm in. I want to continue being Jewish. And then they graduate high school, and they really regret their decision. They're like, no, like, I'm out. They had their rebellious teen years, really went full force, and they don't want to do this. They don't want to live by the laws of Kashrus. They want to live by the laws of Shabbos. They'd rather use their cell phone on Shabbos, right? And they say, I don't want this anymore. So it's too late. Once you're in, you can't push off. But you have that moment of Bar Bas Mitzvah. So the question is as follows. What happens to someone who does not necessarily accept nor reject being a Jew, like my student, who the rabbi asked him, do you want to stay Jewish? And he said, I don't want to answer that question. Do we say, you are a Jew until you state, I don't want to be a Jew? Or are you not a Jew until you state, I want to be a Jew? And we're not going to see that answer really in the Gemara. Right, it's not necessarily so clear from the sources that we've seen thus far. And the whole idea, I'll tell you a wild story I heard from Rav Schechter, that the whole idea from Rav Herschel Schechter, could be, I was just realized, Rav Shai Schechter is here, who's great as well. The whole idea of Kabbalah Sevitz, meaning of what you say, is so important, and what's in your heart is extremely important. There was a non-Jewish man who chose to serve in Tzahal. And when he came to Tzahal, he had to pick, let's say, which unit he was in. And he also was able, because he wasn't Jewish, they have a track for people to convert to Judaism. I guess they figure, for those people who want to fight for Israel, who are non-Jews, you probably love the Jewish people, and you might want to even join the Jewish people. And so he joined this track. However, the reason he joined the track was because he wanted to date Jews. And he knew that down the line, he would only be able to date Jews if he was Jewish. So he wanted to kind of like keep his options open. Maybe I'll date a non-Jew. He doesn't care, like, I'll be Jewish and date a non-Jew, and I'll be Jewish and I can now also date a Jew. He wanted to basically have more of a field. And so he went through the whole course. And it was the night before he was going to meet with the Beis Din. And he was talking with his friend, and he said to his friend, he said, what do I tell the Beis Din? Like, the MS is, I don't care about Torah mitzvos. I really don't. And so his friend gave him the advice that if someone, let's say, has conservative views and they have a liberal professor, so the friend said, in that case, like, write your paper for what the professor wants to hear. He said to his friend, he said, tell them you're all in. Tell them you accept the mitzvos. And kachava. And he went in front of the Beis Din the next day, and they said, do you accept to keep the Torah mitzvos? And knowing 100% certainty, he had zero desire, and was not planning on being shomer Torah mitzvos, he said, I do. He ended up, after service, going to YU, of all places. And a few years later, he wanted to start dating. And he ended up asking Rav Shechter this question: am I able to date a non-Jew? And told him the exact story. And Rav Shechter said, you are not Jewish. Even though you said what they wanted to hear, believe it was not sincere, it was insincere, and therefore you're not Jewish. Go date the non-Jews. Have fun. Don't touch the Stern girls. That's basically what Rav Shechter said to him. And so it is everything you say and everything you have in your heart is extremely important. And so here my student happens to be my assumption. I've never discussed the case with my student after. I wasn't the person even to tell him the psak that was given by Beis Din. It was totally out of my hands. I had nothing to do with it. But my assumption, if I were to ask Moshe, how come you continuously said, I don't want to answer? Not just at the time I was 13, but even when I was sitting in my class at the age of 17. I assume Moshe had the mentality of, I'm just scared to lock myself in. And if I lock myself in, then I can't get out. So he assumes if I don't want answer, then I still have the choice. That's what I assume Moshe was at. Now, to see the answer to the question in the next source, I have to give you a little bit more background about Moshe. Because without the background about Moshe, you still wouldn't know if he's actually a Jew nowadays or not, based on what we're going to see. Moshe, so he lived and lives, I guess, in a certain sense, in a from home. And he also abides by halacha. So it's not where everyone who lived, meaning you need both criteria, right? You could have, not everyone who necessarily lives in a from home keeps halacha. There are times I'm the mashgiach in my school. And so I meet with kids, and there are kids that tell me that I don't keep Shabbos, and my parents don't know. And there are times, of course, meaning times where it's actually the reverse. There are times where I have students who keep Shabbos, and their family does not keep Shabbos. That also happens. So it's not where everything's always in line. And here in Moshe's case, Moshe was like a regular from high school boy, right? I'm not saying he has to be like davening mincha and marv of the minyan every day or anything like that. But he has to, like, keep kosher, keep Shabbos, do what he's supposed to do as a Jew. And that's the way he was living his life. And so let's see, if you see the next source. So the Ran says as follows. The Ran points out, in a certain sense, a stira in the Gemara. I'll say the stira outside, and then we'll see the answer of the Ran. The Ran points out as follows that the Gemara said, quoted by Rav Yosef, that when the person, this katan who's converted at the age of 2, when they become bar mitzvah, so they have the option to opt out. But then the Gemara said, but once you're sha'achas, once you have that moment, so you can't. And the Ran assumes that once you reach the age of 13, you can't basically back out, that there is actually no time where you could opt in. So if you could only, like at 13, like that's where you're trying to chance to opt out, like, but it says until that age. Let's read it inside. Let's read it inside. It's worth to see the words of the Ran. Amar of Yosef and Gdil Chol Limchos, source 8. Ava kodem she'egdil ein machasan macha. Before the person is a gadol, then it's not a rejection. The labnei dead in who? Because they don't have halachic das. Once they've lived past the age of bar mitzvah, so then they can't back out again. V'im tomar, ask the Ran. Since we said before bar mitzvah they don't have the ability to back out. So once they become bar mitzvah, for even a moment they can't back out. When are they able to back out? If before they don't have the das, and afterwards, oh, they're already in once they're bar mitzvah, so when could they back out? El inyan. Sorry, the ha, iafshar litzamtim. Matai hu yuchol limchos. When are they able to back out? So he answers, yesh lamar. The omer amru de kodem shagdil emchom limchos. El inyan shem nitratzta bedavar achar kach kodem galus. Shem machata sha'asa mitchila klum. That he says, you know when the person is able to back out when they become bar mitzvah? It's only in a case of a person who wasn't keeping halacha until that point. in the bold, avalim omdav machata mikatnas, the achar galus machasa machav nitbat algeris. Sorry, the first part was that if they were keeping halacha, then at bar mitzvah they can't opt out. But then the bold was, if they are not keeping halacha, then that is where, when they become bar bas mitzvah, they're able to back out. So you have that moment, but that moment's only if you're rebelling. And you say, I don't want out. But when a person is living by it, then you're in. However, aval betosvos tertu, the whole v'ashramodian osa anshan shal mitzvos ena gerusa gemura. Tosvot says that until the person basically really knows about the schar and the punishment, and basically is makabel outright, then they're not a Jew. That's understood by Tosfos that the person has to opt in. And until you opt in, you are not a Jew. So according to the Ran, my student who is living a religious life is a Jew. And according to Tosfos, because he didn't declare, I am a Jew, he actually is not a Jew. And the Ritva in Source 9 says something similar to the Ran. Kevan shegdil sha'achas l'shem yad, this kamar. It's referring to be a Jew, to live by a Jew, as a Jew. Kegon sha'asta ma'ise Yehudis, achar shegala, v'nikarin ma'ase she'im ma'ase Yehudis. That by doing an action, right? Actions speak louder than words. So this boy didn't accept it, but by doing, as the Ritva's term is, a ma'ise Yehudis, a Jewish action. The fact that the boy, the next morning, put on tefillin and kept kosher and kept Shabbos that Shabbos. So of course he's in. He's keeping halacha. He's showing that he's in, even though he didn't verbalize it. The last source is just a unique opinion that says, actually, until bar mitzvah, they actually can opt out. And it's only once they become bar mitzvah, they don't have the option. That's their ah. But typically we have the Ran and the Ritva against the opinion of Tosfos. Now, I'll tell you what Based in America did, and then I'll tell you what my Rav said. So the Based in America said and paskined that the boy is Jewish. Based on the Ran, based on the Ritva, the fact that he lives in a Jewish family, he's keeping halacha, it shows that he's Jewish. So my Rav Belazon, so Rav Belazon told me he's on the Beis Din for Geiris as well. And he said that is how the Beis Din of America paskins, but in Israel, they actually hold like Tosfos. And that he believes, Rav Belazon said, that if he were to live in Israel, meaning if he were to have this Shiloh come up in Israel, then they would say, you're not a Jew, potentially. I don't know if they would say you can still accept it now. One thing that, by the way, is also important to know is that even if, let's say this boy is not Jewish, he could still convert to Judaism. You know what I mean? He's living a Jewish life. If he were to find out that he's not Jewish and he wants to be Jewish, he'd go through a process. And the process, even though it is a very strenuous process, it's very much expedited under certain circumstances. So someone who lives a Jewish life their full life, and this has happened at times, where let's say someone's getting married, the time where you look into your yichus the most is when someone's writing your ksuba, and they ask you questions. And if someone, let's say their mother is a convert, and they find out that it might not have been the most kosher geirus, then you're not Jewish. The whole time, you know what I mean? That has happened sometimes. And then they will, obviously, if someone grows up and lives a frum life, so then they'll convert you and it'll be a very quick conversion. So sometimes certain things are expedited. So if you have someone like that, it happens to be that this boy went to yeshiva after high school, went and served in Sahal, actually lives now in Eretz Yisrael. My assumption is, because it is an interesting question, because I told you that Tosfos in Eretz Yisrael, like, oh, they told you he's not Jewish. I assume that because it was paskined in America that he is a Jew, and like, you know what I mean, like, he's Jewish, that would be accepted in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't think there would be an issue over there in that case. But it certainly was something that was, like I said, the most fascinating halacha case that I've had to deal with. Not where I was, like, the one answering the Shiloh, but Shiloh that came my way, certainly, and the one with the most intense ramifications.